Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another multifaceted episode for you. These are episodes where we try to go in-depth on a particular card or a small number of cards to try to understand how they may impact the game. Whether it comes in the form of how we're going to brew around them, how we're going to play around them, or just what neat design space they may offer for the future. And I have made no secret in the past of my love of today's multifaceted target, Kedas, Emberclaw Familiar. This happy little legendary elemental lizard is a 1/1 for one and a red with partner, and whenever a commander you control deals combat damage to an opponent, it deals that much damage to each other opponent. Now, Kedas is great just for the ability to multiply damage, and in the past I have combined him with partners such as Malcolm. Malcolm, Keen-Eyed Navigator, is 2 and a blue for a legendary creature, Siren Pirate, a 2/2 with flying and partner, and whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to your opponents, you create a treasure token for each opponent that's been dealt damage. One important thing to note with Malcolm is that Malcolm does not specify combat damage. Kedas does. Where this interaction becomes important is Kedas will take any instance of combat damage that you do with your commander, whether it is Kedas or the creature that it's partnered with, and then Kedas will deal a form of non-combat damage to each opponent who was not affected by that particular instance of combat damage. So with Malcolm, the combination is one that I actually turned into a CDH deck. Malcolm will swing in to hit one opponent for 2 points of damage. Kedas will then have Malcolm deal those 2 points of damage to each other opponent. And because Malcolm sees three different opponents taking an instance of damage from a pirate, Malcolm will then generate three treasures. This is where Kedas' unusual but useful wording comes into play. Kedas has that creature deal that much damage to each other opponent. So because it is Malcolm dealing the damage, it is Malcolm that sees pirates dealing the damage, and it then makes the treasure. So we can try to use this unique wording on Kedas in a number of fairly interesting ways. One particular way that you can try to make Kedas even more interesting is to try to get multiple copies of Kedas. This is something I actually saw another player doing from one of the Discords that I belong to in a deck where he combined Kedas not with Malcolm, but with Sakashima. Sakashima of 1,000 Faces is 3 and a blue for a legendary creature rogue, a 3/1. With partner, and the legend rule doesn't apply to permanents you control, and you may have Sakashima of 1,000 Faces enter the battlefield as a copy of another creature you control, except it has Sakashima of 1,000 Faces other abilities. So in this case, you would have Sakashima enter the battlefield as a copy of Kedas. You now have two copies of Kedas in play. If one of those copies of Kedas were to get through and deal combat damage to an opponent, that opponent would take 1 point of damage. Then, each Kedas would trigger, seeing a single instance of combat damage from a commander creature, and they would deal 1 point of damage to each of the other two opponents who was not affected by that instance of combat. Where it gets really interesting is when you try to start having multiple copies of Kedas, each one generating multiple instances of pings to the table. Now, in this particular deck, my opponent did a really nice job of making sure that Kedas was more than just a little 1/1. But there were a few other interesting tricks, which I'll get to in a few moments. Sakashima of 1,000 Faces is not the only way to get around the Legend Clause and have multiple copies of Kedas. Obviously, being in blue is probably the best way to do it, just because blue has access to the best clones, and probably the most clones overall. There are a few other ways that we can try to get around this. In the most recent Kamigawa set, we had a printing of Mirror Box, a 3-mana artifact which says the legend rule doesn't apply to permanents you control, and each legendary creature you control gets +1/+1, and each non-token creature you control gets +1/+1 for each other creature you control with the same name as that creature. So this could in fact act as a pseudo-anthem for a deck that is trying to make multiple copies of Kedas, as long as you're doing so with actual clone cards, like Sakashima of 1,000 Faces. There is an older version of this effect before either the Sakashima or Mirror Box, and that was Mirror Gallery. which was 5 mana as an artifact and simply states the legendary rule doesn't apply. Obviously, we now have Mirror Box, so probably a lot better, and having access to Sakashima if we chose to go the clone route, much, much better than paying 5 mana for a card that just lifts the legend rule for us. There are a few other possible ways that we can get this, and one of the more interesting ones would be to use a casual NCDH All-Star in Helm of the Host. Helm of the Host is 4 mana for a legendary artifact equipment with equip 5, and, at the beginning of combat on your turn, create a token that's a copy of equipped creature, except the equipped token isn't legendary if the equipped creature is legendary. That token gains haste. Famously in CDH, this is combined with Godo Bandit Warlord, and Godo in this way has infinite combat steps. It's a very powerful deck. Anyone who doubts that Mono Red can do the thing in CDH, Godo's been proving them wrong for quite a few years now, and it just keeps getting faster. When you equip Helm of the Host to Kedis, even if Kedis is not the one who's attacking, at the beginning of combat, Kedis can sit back, have Helm of the Host trigger, make another copy of Kedis, and then we get that same instance of the doubling of the damage that we would see. If we were to combine Kedis with a creature like Krom, who is a 4-4. Beginning of combat, we make a copy of Kedis. Krom swings in and deals 4 damage to one of our opponents. We have 2 different Kedis triggers. Each one sees that 4 damage was dealt to one opponent. Krom would then deal 4 more damage to each other opponent who wasn't hit that turn, twice, for a total of 8 damage to each of those other opponents. Again, we're sticking with blue-red for these initial discussions because it's fairly easy to get our head around how clones could work. We've talked about how some of the combat damage triggers may also be helpful. Malcolm, though, is somewhat of a unique case among the partner commanders. The only other partner who has an effect that triggers off of damage being dealt and not just combat damage is, I believe, Breaches. Breaches, Brazen Plunderer, is 3 and a red for a 3-3 legendary creature Goblin Pirate with Partner and Menace. And whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to your opponents, exile the top card of each of those opponents' libraries. You may play those cards this turn, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast those spells. Again, the specific wording here is deal damage, not deal combat damage. The difference will become obvious if you look at Tana. Tana the Bloodsower is one of the original partners from back in Commander 2016, so she's a two-color partner, 2 a red and a green for a 2-2 legendary creature elf druid with trample partner, and whenever Tana the Bloodsower deals combat damage to a player, create that many 1-1 green sapling creature tokens. Unfortunately, because Tana specifies that you have to deal combat damage to get the tokens, Kedis will still multiply the damage and have each undamaged opponent take 2 points of damage from Tana. But Tana will not trigger to create a total of 6 saprolings. She will only create the 2 from connecting with the single opponent who she connected with. Similarly, Timna the Weaver specifies that each opponent who has dealt combat damage is the upper limit on how much life you can spend to draw cards. Timna states, at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, you may pay X life, where X is the number of opponents that were dealt combat damage this turn. If you do, draw X cards. When you combine Kedis and Timna, if only Timna were the one to attack, you would gain 6 life out of the exchange if she was able to get through unblocked. However, Timna by herself would not be able to go ahead and draw 3 cards for 3 life if that was the only opponent you poked through on. So it doesn't combine very well with a lot of the partners who have combat damage triggers. Another potential place we could use this is as a damage spreader. A fair analogy would be with the arguably more powerful Jeska, Thrice Reborn. Jeska is one of the Commander Planeswalkers from Commander Legends. 2 and a red for a legendary Planeswalker Jeska with 0 loyalty. She enters the battlefield with a number of loyalty counters on her for each time you've cast a commander from the command zone this game and partner. Her zero loyalty ability is choose target creature until your next turn. If that creature would deal combat damage to one of your opponents, it deals triple that damage to that player instead. She also has a minus X of Jessica Thrice Reborn deals X damage to each of up to three targets. And of course, Jessica can be your commander. The comparison between Jessica and Kedis currently in the CEDH format is that Jessica is just better. Jessica offers you the opportunity to make one of your creatures, particularly one of your commanders, a pretty easy knockout punch. Jessica has been combined with some partners like Ishai, who we'll talk about in a couple of moments, to very quickly commander damage people out of the game. If a commander has 7 power and it gets through unblocked, Jessica will make it so that is a one-shot kill. That's right, Voltan damage in commander, particularly in CDH. The difference with Kedis is Kedis does not multiply the damage against a single opponent, but spreads it around the table. Having played Malcolm Kedis a lot, I will tell you that there is almost never a board where a flyer can't get through to at least one opponent in CEDH. Creatures, while they're becoming more common in the modern CEDH metagame, they're still not an assumption. They're not something you're going to assume you're going to have blockers for flyers in CEDH. And even in regular Commander, you can't always assume that everyone is going to have blockers up. If you can get a partner with a form of evasion, Kedis can just get that damage through. Now, one of the more spicy brews that I've seen before is combining Jessica with another partner in Mono Red, Dargo the Shipwrecker. Dargo is 6 and a red for a legendary creature, Giant Pirate, a 7-5 with partner and trample, and as an additional cost to cast this spell, you may sacrifice any number of artifacts and or creatures. This spell costs 2 less to cast for each permanent sacrifice this way, and 2 less to cast for each other artifact or creature you've sacrificed this turn. So there are quite a few decks out there that really lean into Dargo's ability to reduce his own cost with that cost reduction effect by doing a lot of sacrificing. If you're able to sacrifice Dargo to something like Ashnod's Altar, it very quickly becomes infinite. You combine it with Phyrexian Altar even better, because that then spots you the red mana you need to keep casting Dargo. When combined with Jessica, as you can see, 7 power means Dargo plus Jessica, if somebody doesn't have any blockers up, Dargo's just going to kill them. So the question then needs to be raised, does commander damage go through like this if I were to Dargo somebody out with a 3x damage effect from Jessica, and I happen to have a Kedis in play just as one of the 99 in my deck? Would I commander damage somebody out? Only one person. Your other two opponents would take 21 damage each from Dargo, but it would not be combat damage. And in Commander, the rule is, commander damage comes in the form of combat damage only. But having a big, smashy creature crashing into deal a bunch of damage is still potentially very effective. Since there are a limited number of partners who have the ability to care about combat damage, or I guess in this case, non-combat damage, Kedis is going to be good friends with anybody who can get particularly big. That would then allow you to spread the damage around and very quickly pressure the entire table. Outside of CDH, that is kind of nice. It takes away some of the feel-bads of Voltroning one player out and then having the other two players continue to play while someone is stuck, not being able to participate in the game. And participation is kind of half the fun of Commander. We all want to be there and have our decks doing the thing. But if you get knocked out and then have to sit there and twiddle your thumbs a little bit, there's a reason why some people are anti-Voltron, just from the sense of, I don't want to knock one person out and just have them sit there. Elimination is still something that, from pure game design standpoint, Commander still has a few issues with. But Kedis is kind of neat, and by spreading the love and spreading all that damage around, you can very quickly clock the entire table at the same time. Essentially, Kedis gives to combat damage type strategies the same type of urgency and clock that a more A plus B combo might. If you're able to get one of your commanders big enough to really start threatening the table, yeah, you can do a ton of damage. So one possible combination we may have, we have a couple of partner commanders who get very big very easily. From the most recent Kamigawa, I guess the commander, not commander product, but the commander cards printed outside of the commander product, we have Yoshimaru Ever Faithful, a single white mana for a 1/1 legendary creature dog with partner, and whenever another legendary permanent you control, whenever another legendary permanent enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Yoshimaru Ever Faithful. If you have these two as partners, you can cast Yoshimaru on turn 1, turn 2, make your land drop, cast Kedis. Yoshimaru is now a 2/2. It attacks, and when it connects, it will deal 2 damage to each opponent. Each time you play another legendary card, like Mox Opal, for example, is legendary, that will put another +1/+1 counter on Yoshimaru. It allows you to be a little bit more flexible in who you are trying to commander damage out, or if that person gets up blockers, you can still pressure life totals with a creature like Yoshimaru. But as I mentioned, my experience with playing Malcolm Kedis is that evasion like flying is really, really good when combined with Kedis, because you're almost always going to have at least one opponent who is open. If there's one person doesn't have reach or flying, you're going to get through, you're going to start clocking the table. And I mentioned this bird monk a little while ago. It is Ishai Ojutai Dragon Speaker. 2, a white and a blue for a legendary creature, bird monk, a 1/1 with flying and partner, and whenever an opponent casts a spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Ishai Ojutai Dragon Speaker. Ishai gets big. Ishai gets big very fast. There have been a number of CEDH decks which have attempted to leverage this when combined with Jeska, where Jeska would then multiply the damage Ishai deals in order to threaten one-hit kills against opponents by putting that x3 multiplier on Ishai's damage. It's a powerful combination, it's a powerful deck, it can do some really serious damage in CEDH, and I think it can do some serious damage outside of CEDH as well. And what I would like to suggest doing here, and something I think I'm going to work on, is I'm going to combine Kedis with Ishai. I already mentioned there are some pretty cool things that we can do trying to combine Kedis with something like Helm of the Host. Well, today I was speaking with some folks on Twitter, and somebody pointed out that it is actually a lot easier to deal 10 damage than it is to deal 120. That's right, we're going to try to infect out the table. Grafted Exoskeleton is 4 mana for an artifact equipment with equip 2, and equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has infect. Whenever Grafted Exoskeleton becomes unattached from permanent, sacrifice that permanent. With Grafted Exoskeleton, this means that if your opponents have cast 7 or more spells since Ishai has come into play, you cast and equip Grafted Exoskeleton to Ishai. Ishai at that point is at least a 10-10, swings in and deals combat damage. Wait, you may be saying, does that actually work? Infect damage is dealt to players in the form of poison counters. It deals damage, not it deals combat damage. Kedis will see the combat damage being dealt by Ishai and say, Ishai, deal that much damage to each other opponent. So yes, it does in fact work to have Kedis partnered with somebody wearing a Grafted Exoskeleton dealing infect damage to your opponents. Each one of them will get an equal number of poison counters, and if that's 10 or more, you are successful, you have won, and you have made infect win in Commander. I think that's where I'll leave it for today. Kedis is just such a cool little creature. He is one of my all-time favorite legendary creatures, and easily one of my favorite partners. I'm going to be working on this particular Kedis Ishai brew, and if you want to get at me on Twitter, let me know if you want to help out. On Twitter, we are GemstoneMindMTG. You can also reach out to us on YouTube, where we are GemstoneMindPodcast, or you can send us an email, where we are gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.